Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on the Press Box. Oh, so much to talk about as we kickstart it and get it going. And I couldn't do it by myself. Well, I could, but you wouldn't enjoy it as much. So my man Nick is here so that we can do it together. Not that. But we can do radio for the next 3 hours and keep you guys at least mildly entertained while informed with everything going on in sports and other things. Nicholas, what's up?
Not much, man. I had a pretty good weekend. How was your birthday weekend, sir?
Wasn't bad.
Had some fajitas.
Grandma was here. We did do the fajitas. So I figured out when that it's officially, and it hasn't been for years, but you know that it's not about you on your birthday.
When you become a dad, that's basically.
Right. And so essentially, Lisa's focus was, because I'm not a big birthday guy anymore, for obvious reasons. I'm just not a big fan of age anyway. But I'm not a big birthday fan. So when we were talking about, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know, your mom's in town, whatever. But she's like, no, birthdays are big for Taylor. So we have to. And I'm like, so essentially it's my birthday for Taylor. And she goes, yeah. So I knew things were up because I knew it wasn't about me when we started the conversation. And this is one I want your guys' opinion on right off the top, okay? Where are you on cake? Because here's the thing. My wife is a big fan of these foo-foo bakery things because she's a massive dessert person. So she loves, like, Dessert Gallery. I'll give them a shout-out because we get a ton of our cakes there, or Three Brothers Bakery. My problem is, it says cake for a reason. I'm about the cake with some frosting. I'm not about 70% frosting with some cake. These expensive places, I was just talking to Charlie about this. You get about 70% frosting. It's like you get a mat. The cake itself is surrounded by massive amounts of frosting. Then that middle layer is all frosting. And I don't think you get enough cake.
Yeah, you've talked about this before, but I guess for kids, I mean, if you're a kid and taste buds and sugar and all that.
And I'm not a kid.
If you're a kid, it's absolutely wonderful. But but as an adult, yeah, it's a little too.
I'll go 50-50 split, yeah? Is okay. I talked to the lady and she said, well, if you had ordered in advance, she could just cut out the middle frosting layer, which I think would be a big help.
Well, see, I think a 50-50 split would be even too much for you, too. Even for me.
Probably. But
so, you know what I mean? Is frosting cheaper than cake? Is that what
it is?
Yeah,
I don't
What's
know. Maybe that is the case. I don't know, because I was wondering about expenses, too. But then I knew it when she was like, she volunteered at first. But, you know, with mom in town, with the kids, and the kids love grandma. And I was just like, don't worry, I'll go get it. Because I had to go pick it out anyway. And then I'm driving going, so you know it's not about you when you get your own cake on your birthday. And then on the way back, I come home and her mom goes, oh, Lisa and Tay ran an errand. And I go, oh, this is last minute grab birthday stuff, I bet you. So they walk into the house and they got a massive bouquet of balloons. And Lisa's like, ready for your theme for your birthday? And it was Baby Shark. So when Baby Shark is my theme for my birthday
party,
officially not about me.
Yeah, it's Taylor's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And your birthday's on Father's Day weekend. So was there two celebrations for Tay in that regard?
There was basically just we hung out as a family yesterday, but there was zero celebration.
Well, cake is kind of a big thing.
Taylor was so ballsy that she made this statement because she was supposed to go to a birthday party for one of her classmates. And we were trying to show her, you know, weighing it out, what's more important. And so grandma and mom said, Taylor, what's more important, Father's Day or so-and-so's birthday? And she was like, oh, so-and-so's birthday. Father's Day isn't anything. And I was like, oh, really? Remember that the next time you want a toy.
I saw someone tweet too. I forgot who it was. I think it was one of our listeners. And I'm like, man, on Father's Day, it's not the thought that counts. I want some good stuff. I want a good gift. I don't want no. I want a really nice gift certificate or a really good gift. I want some real appreciation. It's not the thought that counts. And I sat there and I read that and I was like, you know what? You might be right. But that's just how it is. Father's Day, it just doesn't count. Same thing with weddings, right? The dude don't count, basically. It doesn't really matter. It's not about you,
right,
buddy. It's just the way it is.
I mean, the thing with me on the cakes, too, is like, especially on a wedding, you're never going to get it anyway, the cake. Like, you're going to take a picture with it. You're going to cut it.
Well, that's just your wedding. My friends, they got married. They ate their own cake. What do you mean you don't get your own cake?
Bro, let me tell you something. And we had the worst wedding planner on the planet, right? So Lisa surprises me and goes out of her way. They did a complete cake recreation of Lambeau Field. It was amazing. We took pictures with it. We were the first two into the reception. We took pictures with it. And then we got swept away to go over to a different part of the reception hall.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I looked back and I'm like, hey, I want to show some of the guys the Lambeau cake. Oh, it's already been cut up and distributed. What?
Yeah.
Gone. The whole
thing.
So
you didn't even get one piece of your Lambeau cake?
Nope, none.
Well, you got screwed on your deal.
No doubt.
Thank you for further solidifying the fact that I should never get married or ever become a father.
Well, now I'm back to normalcy. That's why I said we got through the weekend, and it wasn't about me anyway, so now we can just go back with life as we know it.
Yeah, so you're probably better off without the birthday weekend and the Father's Day almost.
I mean, no, it's always good to have family around.
You got your little cheat meal. You got your fajitas.
I did, yeah.
And that's a big thing for you.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. You had a better weekend than Charlie Polillo. He got a softball to the face.
Was that what happened with that blemish on his face?
You noticed it?
Yeah, right away. Look,
I didn't notice it. He said when he tried to show it on the camera, it really wasn't noticeable at all. I don't think anybody was able to see it, but apparently he caught a softball to the face, and he said there's video of it, but he wouldn't tweet it. Which is not shocking.
I walked in and thought that he might have had like a greasy food weekend, but evidently it was a bigger blemish.
No, so, it's just a little.
But by the way, did you see this?
What?
Did you see and watch? Did you watch any Astros where they were talking about? I think it was Friday night when they were talking about Altuve taking one to the nose, and randomly they had a camera on him, and it was during batting practice. And you know how the guys throw him in from the outfield, and he's over there fielding him from right and left field. He turns to left field to catch a ball coming in, and when he turns back, they happen to have a camera on him. The ball hits him in the going from left to right, from right field, right across. It goes right across the front of his nose, and remarkably, you can see his whole face shake and his nose kind of. Remarkably, the smooth part of the baseball hit his nose, so no stitches, no mark. And the fact that it only hit the cartilage on the tip of his nose. It never hit the bones or his face. He never had a blemish. He never had a mark. And he just shook it off, and then he wanted everybody to stay away from him. And I'm going, how lucky could that be?
Yeah, I mean, that could have been a lot worse.
Without question. And the fact that they had a camera on it, and they super slow-mo'd it, and I was like...
Yeah, I mean, just like I was telling Charlie, it could have been orbital bone.
Cheek, yes.
But it could have been your broken nose. It could have been just a massive bruise. It could have been a cut lip. It could have been, you know what I mean? It could have been a bunch of things, dude. Well, good. Well, I'm glad he's okay. Glad Charlie's okay as well.
I don't know about Charlie, but I'm glad
he's
okay.
Yeah, you don't care?
I'm not looking to Charlie to hit a grand slam one night and then a lead off the next. I'm looking for Charlie to just lead off the festivities in the afternoon and then just go on your merry way.
Well, I'm glad Altuve's okay, and I'm glad the Astros are kicking ass, because guess what? The next 10 games should be pretty easy for
them. Don't say that. Because their record against teams that they should beat is awful compared to teams that are the best in baseball, which is great.
They're playing the Orioles twice, once on the road and once at home. I mean, if they don't win at least 60-70% of the next 10 games, I think they should hit the 50 mark at least.
They weren't swept by the Yankees. They weren't swept by the Dodgers. They weren't swept by the Padres or the Red Sox or the Blue Jays or the White Sox. You know who they were swept by? The Tigers. You know who else? The Rangers.
That's
two of the worst teams in baseball.
And those are one of the
teams. That's why I'm worried.
Well, I mean, look, the Orioles have, like, really, really bad pitching. They're not trying to win games anyway. They're basically pulling what the Astros are pulling back in 2014. So it's not like they're trying to win games. So I'm not too concerned for the Orioles. I can see what you're trying to say about the Tigers as they go to Detroit after they go to Baltimore to face them. But nonetheless, a really good series against a really good team. And the White Sox scored 27 runs. They only scored 8. I mean, if you watched this series in its entirety, good for you. If you only watched a portion of it, regardless, it's a really, really, really good. It was a really good series against a really good team, and it means something. It meant something for them to beat that series.
I looked at this series and I thought, you know what? If they came out of it 2-2, White Sox had the best record in the American League coming in.
Yeah.
So I looked at it going, a split would be great, especially because their pitching lined up for the most part to have some of their best pitchers. I don't think they didn't see Giolito, but they saw everybody else. And I thought, well, you know, 2-2 would be great, and hopefully they move on. And then the fact that they just boat raced them and ran them out of the building was phenomenal. And then on top of it, did you see the damn White Sox TV guys?
I did.
Pissed me off.
Why?
Because they're clowns. Like, and I don't know. I was trying to figure out who they were. I just saw it real quick, and I thought, I don't know if that was Ozzie Guillen and who was in their studio. But the fact that you're still running with the garbage cans. And that you thought it would be amusing doing a game in which you got it handed to you yet again, that you were popping garbage cans and pretending that you had a buzzer under your suit when you were pretending to take an at bat. You deserve every bit to just sit there and lie in a puddle of you just got your ass kicked.
You know what that Astros team could use? A little bit of help, huh? What do you think?
What, you
some garbage
boys
cans?
Chicago. Uh-oh, drop it, fumble. There you go. There you go. Fastball, breaking ball.
Chuck, you're talking about Chuck, cheating. Look at you.
What are you talking about? What is this here?
Nothing. I don't have anything on me. I don't know what you're talking about.
We're gonna need you to take the jacket off.
You know, my wife told me not to take my jacket off ever on the show, so I can't show you that I might have a battery in my...
Electric chairs out there. Come on, don't do it. Don't touch me.
We're all clean on this show.
Clean, except for the fact that you got crap all over you because you got the crap beat right out of you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were doing it all in fun, but they obviously did it prior to the series being over, so I don't know if they have regrets for doing that segment, but...
You know what, Nick? That means you lose 2-1. You know what this means? You get your ass kicked 10-1. You know what you're doing either way? You pick up your pants and you move on, White Sox. You go bye-bye. Okay. Shut the hell up, White Sox announcers. Get the hell out of here.
That's like their studio show. Like
Kevin Eschenfelter and Mike Stanton.
Correct.
Well, that's not an Emmy Award-winning television telecast, I can tell you that. All right, we're just getting it started. Chime in, peeps. Love having you part of the program. Lots to get to today. Lots of NBA as the Game 7s were on full display. A Game 1 without two superstars was still worth a watch. The Astros on the sweep versus the White Sox, and so much more. That means you guys are all included. We love having you here. 713-780-3776. That's for calls and text on the HRNP listener line. Hit us up on Twitch. Hit us up on Twitter. On Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together we're the Press Box. This is ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, just getting it rolling. It's pick and choose time. We know what the Astros already did. We started with that. They annihilated the Chicago White Sox. They sent another statement to the rest of Major League Baseball that whether or not you have anything more that you still have to get off your chest about 2017 and maybe if you want to believe 19, it doesn't matter because this is 2021 and this new Astros team is not that different in terms of the results they're getting. They're kicking ass. They're taking names. Their offense is absolutely phenomenal. It doesn't matter how good or bad you are as a pitcher. They're taking full advantage. Alex Bregman out, no problem. The Texans mascot is on a tear. He's half Toro, half Skeeter. But you know what he's doing? He's tearing the cover off the baseball. Taylor, Tyler, Jones, Jimmy, Jam, Jim, James, whatever. You know what? I told you you shouldn't be on the Astros the rest of the year. You should be a Skeeter, and you should be out for blood. But you got a couple of hits yesterday.
You can poop on Miles Straw again if you want, but you can't poop on Jones. Not after yesterday's performance, at least. And how about Carlos Correa? Because Carlos Correa is playing. That's actually an interesting discussion because it does make me wonder, and I don't even know if it's possible. Because now he's living up to, you know, Carlos Correa. But we all know what one of the big issues is. It's the fact that he's always been kind of labeled this injury-prone sure. type of player.
Okay.
But do you keep him and let him walk, or do you potentially inquire about trading him while he's hot and seeing if you can get anything in return?
As good as they are right now, I don't think you can trade him. Because you have to ride it out for this year and take it as far as – because you don't know if he'll be back or if he'll – because here's the thing. Getting back, I want you to expand on that a little bit, because you said he's finally living up to being Carlos Correa. But my counter to you would be, is being Carlos Correa worth as much as being Francisco Lindor? Is it worth as much as being one of the highest paid shortstops in the game, whether it be Fernando Tatis Jr., which I don't think he's in that. But you and I've talked about this. If you're just good enough to be who Carlos Correa is, are you also okay with the fact that that's not good enough to get the kind of money that you think you deserve to be in the same ballpark as?
Yeah, and to me, it's never been about the numbers that he's been put up. I think if you just look at the numbers and you remove the injury prone part of it, I think it inches closer to a Lindor type of contract. Not obviously as close as. Like, I think he can get 6 years from another team. That's my point. I don't think he can get a Lindor type of contract. I think what hurts his case is the injuries. You look at this season, this particular season, we're approaching July right now, and he's only missed four games.
Don't knock on some wood somewhere, because jinx that.
But that's the
you
truth.
You can knock on your pants. That's fine.
But only four games, and none of them due to injury.
And that's great. But what I'm saying is, Carlos Correa at his best isn't a 300 hitter. Carlos Correa at his best is not a guy that I foresee, and he's been on a streak lately, but I don't see him hitting 25 to 30 bombs or more. I don't see him as a 100 RBI.
If he's playing every single game, you don't see him hitting 25 bombs?
This year might be, because lately he's been on a streak. He's going to have to keep that going. I just don't. I don't see him. It's again, my easiest comparison is, this is like Carlos Correa's Jadeveon Clowney, and Carlos Correa is saying, In a year when there's going to be a shortstop rush on the market in terms of quality shortstops out there, Seager from the Dodgers and Baez from the Cubs and Story and so many more, he's not in that same level. It's not that it's a bad level to be at, but he's not at that top shelf level like those guys.
Yeah, so you're saying a healthy Correa still shouldn't get paid like a Lindor. How close to a Lindor? Do you think he gets six?
I think 30 is as high as you can go if you really have to overpay 30 a year. And I don't know if he's worth 6 years at 30. But if you're in a bidding war and you feel like you have to have him, and I don't know that you have to have him. I think if they're smart, they kick the tires while they're talking to Correa. They kick the tires on the interest and availability of everybody else that's on the market so that you have a plan B and you realize, hey, we might have to overpay, but is it worth the overpay for Correa, or is it more worth it to overpay for a guy that is healthier, that offensively may be better?
Yeah. I think, though, they kind of know that if he turned down that contract 3 months ago, that Carlos Correa is probably going to get right at what you – like, if to me, Carlos Correa wouldn't be the smartest guy, or his agent wouldn't be at least, if he took anything less than what you just – because he could have got that from the Astros, right? $25 million a year. I don't see how he takes anything less than 30 in 6 years if he really believes that he can get it. If he turns down the contract that he got at 25 mil from the Astros, I don't see how he, if he doesn't really believe he can get 6 years at $30 million a year, he should have taken the deal from the Houston Astros.
So if you add up what you just said and what you said previously, to my point, six at 30 is still only 180. He's not in the Tatis or Lindor discussion, and he shouldn't be. And I'm fine with that. If he somehow is able to get 6 for 180, it's still great for him, but I think that's where you say that's fair compared to talking about some of the best in the game. When you talk about your boy Tatis Jr., there's a reason why he got 300 and some mil, because that dude is all world.
He's special.
He really is special. You're right.
He's like next level special. Yes. Like and you can see it from early on.
So
you know?
Astros fans, hear me out. I'm not saying that Carlos Correa is a slouch. I'm just saying he has to be realistic in his approach and his demands, because it's one thing to say, I think I'm worth 30. But if you say I'm worth Lindor Tatis Jr. money, I say go get it, because it's going to be somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's probably – that's why I'm very interested to see what he's going to get. I'd be very interested to see if he's actually going to get 8 years, regardless of the number. Because if he gets 8 years, I guess I tend to believe that Carlos Correa would be more willing to take a less number in terms of annual compensation. But I don't know. I don't know where his mind is at, and I don't know where he plans on going. But look, he's playing really well right now. He played really well in yesterday's game, in the final game of the White Sox series. I believe he was what? He was two... He was two for three.
On Saturday? Was that on Saturday? He had the two bombs.
It was two for three yesterday. Brantley still doing his thing at two for four. Altuve is one for four. These are all stats from yesterday.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa did really well in the series. And look, he's healthy. That's the big thing. So it still forces James, it still forces Click and Crane to make some sort of decision. They have to. They have to look at it now and say, you know what? Do we fork out that money or do we not? I don't know if they will, because they seem pretty firm about it. But I would imagine the negotiation discussions comes back at some point, whether it's before or after the trade deadline.
You're a smart, intelligent, rational sports fan, Nicholas. So you understand what I'm talking about with the Clowney comparison.
Yeah, I do.
The fact is, both of them couldn't stay healthy for the first part of their career. Both of them were in a draft class, or in a class as it relates to Correa and free agency, in which you're surrounded by guys that played more games, put up better numbers, and did better things. So for you to come out and think that you deserve to be paid like they, in the case of Clowney, was Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. And we did these comparisons on the air.
Yeah.
And he's not in the same ballpark.
No.
Not to say he's not a good player in a good situation, though he still hasn't really panned out. That's not a slap at Carlos Correa. That's a realistic approach.
Yeah, it's a realistic approach. And I think to a certain extent he understands that. Otherwise he wouldn't be on record saying, you know, this is business and it's nothing personal and I still want to be an Astro. Or maybe that's just a calculated strategy by Carlos Correa and his agent to not be. Look, at the end of the day, Carlos Correa still took the liberty of kind of making it public. I mean, the Astros
Good
did
point.
Not make it public saying we weren't, you know, we don't believe in big contracts. It was Carlos Correa who said, you know what, we don't believe in big contracts. And so.
Do you believe they're going to stick to their word on that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he continues to play like this, and
I think it's about the times. I think now that we're back to 100% capacity at the Ball Yard, I think that advertisers and fans are coming back. I think that it actually is in their best interest, not just for Correa, but in trying to attract free agents and players to come here in the future and keep players you got. You got to change that mentality now that we're back to getting back
to normal.
But
that's like saying they said they didn't believe in big contracts specifically because of the pandemic. Do they not believe in big contracts because of the pandemic, or do they not believe in big contracts because they genuinely don't believe in big contracts? Which is a weird thing to say when you see the trends in Major League Baseball. If a team has to fork out a 10-year deal, guess what? That's what they're doing. Even if they overpay it, even if they feel like at the back end of that contract they're not going to get their money's worth, they still cough out the 8 to 10-year contracts. That's just the trend. That's what's been going on in Major League Baseball.
And then we see Albert Pujols situation,
yeah,
where you're paying basically for past accomplishments for the last couple
which
years.
Which is in all likelihood. You know what? As much as I love Tatis, that's in all likelihood. That could totally happen. The guy is super injury prone. He's getting hurt all the time. He's already like, we talked about like that little special they did when he was a kid. He jumped off a house and like shattered his femur.
Just got hurt again this weekend. Just diving for a ball. Same shoulder.
The guy gets hurt a lot. So,
and you know who else is going to do the same thing? Manny Machado. You know what the coincidence is? They're both on the same team. Padres had no choice so that they could be competitive now, but they're going to pay for it later. There's no doubt. And the Astros, I don't think, want to be in that situation. So it'll be interesting. We can kick it around. Only a half hour into the program. Lots more to get to. We're going to open up this Ben Simmons discussion next because, boy, there's some good stuff. And by the way, as part of the good stuff, Kendrick Perkins had a lot to say. Part of it, he probably shouldn't have, because I think there's a huge difference between what you put on a wound and what you use in impregnating a female, if that makes sense. It will next. Stay tuned. It is the Press Box. ESPN.
This is High Utopia winner, Hank College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on The Box. As the Boxers are spirited, we're going to get into some more Astros later. But before we get to the Astros, we've got plenty of other things to get to, including the Culture Mac Tastemaker Awards. They're back, celebrating the top talent in Houston's restaurant and bar communities. Join us July 22nd at the beautiful Silver Street Studios for our signature in-person tasting event and awards ceremony. You come in and you celebrate all of the nominees like Restaurant of the Year, Bar of the Year, Best Neighborhood Restaurant, and more. We'll unveil the 2021 winners. You'll sample all kinds of great bites and sip specialty drinks along the way. You can get your VIP and general admission tickets now at houston.culturemaptastemakers.com. It's a phenomenal event. You should be there. And believe me, you leave happy with all those beverages and all that great food.
Love
it's,
that
it's
event.
It's a beautiful evening.
I was really bummed when it had to obviously be shut down for obvious reasons with the pandemic, man. But they have such good food. There's so many good restaurants. And it's going to be really hard to go to that event and find food that you don't like or drinks that you don't like. That event is just awesome. So check it out. Tastemakers.
So Nick and I are going to try and be there, I think. Okay, so here's
the
deal.
I'm definitely trying to be there.
We got through some baseball. We'll get to some more. But let's get to this basketball, okay? Because there was a lot that went on over the weekend. We can get to it series by series. The one that's most pressing with everybody is the last one that we saw, which was last night in Game 7. A total and flat-out embarrassment. If you're a Rockets fan or you're someone like me, look, I'm happy Slim Jim is out of the playoffs, Jimmy Harden. I'm really ecstatic that Daryl Morey, the way he left the Rockets high and dry while trading away every asset they could possibly have, getting more money and a better deal from another team and thinking he had it all made, he's got so much egg on his face, and he's got $147 million left on a contract that looks god-awful today in Ben Simmons because of the way he played. And it is going to be a mess in Philly that he's going to have to clean up because that's what he signed up for, including Doc Rivers, who, as I started mentioning last week, needs to take more of the blame and ownership on his career.
But you know what? Daryl Morey is in a better situation in terms of the problems that he has in Philadelphia than what he would have had if he stayed in Houston right now. He knew what was going to happen. He knew this team was going to be absolute garbage. That's why he left them behind that way.
Here's where I'll counter that. Would you think Daryl Morey would have made the Harden trade as it was constituted? Because I don't. I think Daryl would have gotten more for his Rockets for James Harden than what Stone got for James Harden.
I can believe that. I won't dispute that. But my point is, I felt like he knew the writing was on the wall. He knew that his days were numbered. Look, his tenure there was so long. It's really not usual for general managers to last that long all the time. Now, you do find it in some NBA teams, but for the most part, you don't find general managers just there all the time because in most cases, when there's a new coach, a lot of times they don't jive real well with the GM, or if the GM doesn't jive real well with the new coach, it causes conflict that you don't necessarily need. But the most telling part about that whole situation to me is the way Doc Rivers answered that question after the game. I mean, I don't know how you feel if you're Ben Simmons, and I'm not trying to pick sides here, but I think you have to be really concerned when you hear something like this.
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
We lost. It sucks. I am who I am. It is what it is. You know, it's not easy to win. And it shows, you know. Nets got finished by Buck. It's not easy to win. And I worked, so I think the first thing I'm going to do is clear my mind and get my mental right.
The reason why it's so interesting for the way he answered that question, Doc Rivers in specific, is he didn't ask whether or not he would be with the team the next year. He asked, do you think he could be a point guard on a championship team? And I think he could have answered it differently. I've been just as critical of Ben Simmons as you have. I mean, when you look at that shot chart as an NBA coach, I don't see how you get not get aggravated because the guy can't make a shot anywhere. And his free throw percentage has been hot garbage. He shot 33% for the series, either 33 or 34% for the entire series from the free throw line. That's bad.
I 100% think you could beat him in a free throw contest. I just want you to know you have
Well, I mean, 85%, it's not even, he's not even on my level. But anyway, I'm just saying.
If you could get to 85%. But okay, but here's the thing. I think Doc Rivers' quote was telling because it basically tells you what we already know. You're stuck with that dude. Because at 147 mil for the foreseeable future, no team is touching him because no team didn't see what you just got done talking about. No team didn't see what he did in Game 7. No team didn't see him pass up a dunk to try and get it out of his hands because he was scared to death he was going to get fouled.
Embarrassing.
And have to continue to shoot bad free throws. So I think that was Doc Rivers who just signed a long-term new deal with the Sixers, basically saying, we know we're stuck with him, so whether he plays point guard or not, it's going to take a lot of work in the gym, in the offseason, and that's what he alluded to because I think he knows what we all know, which is there's a sucker born every minute. And I guess when you say the Rockets were able to find a home for Russell Westbrook, they were able to find a home for Chris Paul when they were both deemed untradeable. I guess there's a scenario and a Sam Presti out there or someone that if you stack it with a whole bunch of picks, someone might be interested in Ben Simmons or maybe someone thinks they can fix him. It's going to take a lot of work because we saw Jason Kidd. We saw Gary Payton come into this league without jump shots and develop him. We saw the kid from or the Sixers that went to Orlando and Ball from New Orleans where you had to rebuild their entire shot. And it is mechanically a reconstruct. Everything you thought was comfortable and natural that you were doing to release your shot changes. You got to work on everything from the fundamentals, the elbow in, the extension. But
you wouldn't want Ben Simmons on your as is the way he is right now. You wouldn't want him on your team?
For what price?
Well, I mean, that deal is set. We can't change his contract, unfortunately.
Markelle Fultz is who I was trying to think of. He had to rebuild his entire shot.
Yeah, because his shot was looking a little
Ball
raggedy.
Ball from New Orleans, same thing. Had to rebuild it. And they've done a good job with it.
Well, first of all, he has to be sold on that this offseason where that's his new focus and that's what he wants to do. And then once he does that, chances are the improvement that you want to see is not going to be as big of an improvement as you think. Like, it's probably just going to be a nominal improvement.
You know what it's going to be, Nick?
And that's if he's completely dedicated.
It's going to be a process, and you have to trust the process.
Well, look, the reason why I asked you that question is I'm not necessarily a hater of Ben Simmons as most people. I do think everything that has been said in terms of criticism because of how terrified he is in the fourth quarter and when it comes down to shooting free throws, it's warranted. It's very James Harden-like. He disappears in the fourth quarter. Two of the seven games in that entire series, he attempted a jump shot in the fourth quarter. That is terrible. Game one and game three. You cannot be a star on a team, play a seven-game series in the playoffs, and only attempt one shot in the fourth quarter in two of the seven games. Yeah. That's just absolutely embarrassing.
To not take a shot in the fourth quarter of game seven last night is an absolute disgrace. And to play the game scared when you are counted on as one of the, as you mentioned, one of the two best players, to be counted on from a cap perspective as well as being paid like a guy that has to step up in big games and to disappear. You need to focus your offseason less on the Jenner girls and more on your craft on a daily basis. Whether you're getting any or not, you got to get as many J's up as possible and you got to live at the free throw line and figure it out. If it means totally reconstructing it, do it. If it means just feeling more comfortable and going through a different routine at the free throw line and understanding how you best are effective shooting a three and having confidence enough to shoot it, do it. If you got to hire a shooting coach, if you got whatever it takes, but you need to spend the entire offseason on it and nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, he can't go 15 of 45 from the free throw line in a series. You just can't do that. You can't miss it. He also went down as one of the worst free throw shooting players in playoff history when it comes down to players who have had at least 70 free throw shot attempts in the playoffs. I mean, that's how bad it is for Ben Simmons. But look, I don't know where his mind is. You heard in that post-game comment, I am who I am. Does that mean you're just going to continue to be that guy? It doesn't take a genius to recognize what's going on, particularly when you go to any 76ers game stat sheet and then you go to the shot chart. And then you just select Ben Simmons. You see what the issue is. It's not a shocker. It also depends on whether or not he wants to play off the ball more. Does he have to be a point guard? Because maybe he can shine a little bit more and relieve some of of that pressure if he doesn't do that.
I honestly think he's a better power forward.
I agree too. I mean, there's sometimes I feel like guys like that, just because you can run the ball up the court doesn't mean you should be running the offense. It's the same thing with the Nets game, not to get off topic. It was clear that James Harden wasn't going to bring the ball up. Kevin Durant, at the end of the game, everything ran through him. And honestly, at the end of the game, the offense didn't really run through him. It was just him. He right. was the offense, and James Harden wasn't stepping up. And that's not what you want. But if you get guys to play off the ball a little bit, and maybe other guys that can help set Ben Simmons up, maybe his role will be better. I don't know if your boy Daryl Morey is going to shop him in the offseason, but I would imagine he was going to attempt it, yeah.
But again, it's one thing to shop him. It's another thing to be a team willing to take him. Now, someone threw out there on Twitch, would you give up John Wall and one of your lower first-round picks for Ben Simmons?
Hell yeah.
I absolutely would.
100%.
He's so young, and we've seen a guy that looked unfixable in Fultz. We've seen a guy that looked close to being unfixable in Ball. We've seen guys in the past. If you go back and look at tape of Jason Kidd when he came out of Cal.
Yeah.
He couldn't make an outside shot. He was a hell of a point guard. Gary Payton, the same thing. He had a twitch in his neck every time he released it. And Tim Gergovich fixed both those guys. There is a way to fix a kid that's under 25 that has that much other God-given ability that you take a chance on. Because John Wall is what he is. At his age, with those two injuries, the ceiling is higher, way higher for Ben Simmons than it could be for a John Wall.
Yeah, that trade wouldn't happen. Morey wouldn't do it. And if the Rockets could do it, they'd be dumb if they didn't.
But Morey might do it. He might do it just to get out of the 147.
But you're getting John Wall.
But you're cutting in half what you have to give out to where in 2 years, John Wall could actually be somewhat of a help to Joel Embiid. Because essentially they need a point guard too. And then maybe he'd want to play more. And then maybe he'd be more willing to play team basketball.
I don't know. 2 years of John Wall, that's just, that's tough.
You get 2 years at John Wall at 80 is a lot better than 147 left to Ben Simmons, unless he's going to show you that he's going to make some unbelievable strides in the next 4 months. So we're going to get to this next. We've got a couple of quotes, both interesting. One from Shaq, one from Kendrick Perkins, ex-NBA big men. One talks about violence. The other one talks about, how do we put this, Nicholas?
Something you use for like burns, and I'm not talking about that type of burn. I'm talking about like burns. Like cuts and burns.
But doesn't he reference it more like being like a sexual burn than?
I guess you'll just have to figure it out when you hear it.
Stay tuned. They're actually worth the wait. Back with a whole lot more. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back as we continue to get into this Ben Simmons situation. Sixers are done. Hawks move on. Hawks, another Cinderella story. I'm not sure the NBA ideally... Or let me put it this way. I think the idea that the NBA is okay with new blood having a chance to win a title is good. They just know it has ramifications with the national network.
Do they have a choice? I mean,
but I'm saying the national networks would prefer New York, LA, Chicago, big markets, sure. Big ratings, big draws. But I think there is a lot of interest in the fact that you've got a lot of fans that are easy to pull and guys that are easy to pull for. Atlanta, what a great young team that's fun to watch. Phoenix, the Chris Paul story, and Devin Booker, and the way the Suns are playing. The Clippers, because they're constantly trying to crawl out from under the Lakers' shadow, is another one. And the Bucks, who I stand by what I said, are not a great basketball team. They're poor. They're horribly coached. Giannis is extremely overrated because of what he's making and because he can't make. Again, we're talking about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons on steroids is Giannis Antetokounmpo. But it could be their year. You just don't know. And of course, I'm from Milwaukee. I would love to see it happen. But I just was realistic because I know good from bad in basketball. That's not a good team, the way they play, the way they're coached, the way they make decisions, and the way they make adjustments. But they're winning. And so you have to tip your cap. And they eliminated James Harden and that super team. I couldn't be happier. But you look at all of this, and someone said, hey, guess what? Hey, Joel, Booker's dating a Jenner, and he's doing okay. Yeah, you know what? And Booker has a 26-letter alphabet, whereas Ben Simmons has 25 with no J in it and no free throws either. And until he can fix that, this is what he should be dating a basketball and massaging it and being romantic with it and doing whatever he needs to do till he can find a way to put that in the hole on a consistent basis.
Well, like you, Shaq was very critical of Ben Simmons as well.
What is incorrect about what he said?
If I play game one and two and I know I'm not helping my team out, what you think I'm going to do in game three? Don't take you seven games to realize that. I don't want to hear that, man. I'm not going with that.
So what should he have said tonight?
I like what he said, but if you, like, you can't say, don't take seven games for you to know you are not playing right. Get right. He's not getting double teamed. Get right. Be aggressive. That's all I want. Just be aggressive. I don't want to hear all that. Stop that. Cut it out.
The Atlanta Hawks knocking off the Philadelphia 76ers.
He was in my locker room. I would have knocked his ass out.
The 96.
Okay.
You do what?
I ain't laughing. What you mean, what?
He's in his locker room. You do what?
I don't want to hear that, man. Get out of my face with that. Oh, I didn't.
I ain't mad yet. I know he would. I've heard the stories.
That knock his ass out.
I don't know that you knock out his teammate.
I ain't laughing.
Okay, there you go. I'm just saying, it's funny. And I know, but you know what? Not that you'd knock anybody out. And I think there's plenty to knock on Joel Embiid, too. But the fact that Embiid, where most teammates would completely steer clear of any question regarding turning points in the game, for Embiid to say the turning point was, and then hem and haw about the right way to put it, when Simmons passed up the dunk to pass it to Thybulle. And he called that out. It's almost as if it was a James Harden moment after when he said, I know what we got to do. When you get to the point where you're calling out your sidekick and the second best player on the team, it's probably a turning point for the franchise.
Yeah, it is. It is. It certainly is. I don't know how Moore is going to attempt to address this situation. But look, that's why Shaq feels the way he does. Now, I mean, who's more difficult? Who's going to be more difficult for to hold the basketball, Shaquille O'Neal or Ben Simmons? Who's it going to be more difficult to make a free throw? Shaq is. And when you looked at the Shaq situation, when they did the whole Hack-a-Shaq thing, when he got fouled and didn't get the call, Shaq was bitching to the referee saying, where's my two free throws? Ben Simmons is not that guy.
No, but Shaq also talked about it. He said, you know what? And maybe they did Hack-a-Shaq and I had my moments. He goes, you know what else? When the game was on the line and I needed to make them, I made them. And he's right. He did. When there was a tough point in the game or a couple minutes left in the game and he had to have them, he made them. And I don't know if that's a slap on his lack of concentration when it wasn't a big-time moment, but big-time players make big-time plays in big moments, and he was able to make them when he needed them. He also, like you said, wasn't afraid to go back there. Ben Simmons was terrified last night.
He wanted nothing to do with the free throw line, which is bad. You can't be a star and want nothing to do with it, especially when you have a wide-open layup or dunk. Yeah, chances are they were going to make you earn those 2 points and they were going to foul you hard. Yeah, that your hunch was probably correct. But don't pass it up, man. Don't pass it up. You can't do that, dude.
Now, Nick, you know how I sometimes, it's like a guy that goes panning for gold, and we have a lot of resources we tap into for this show, and all of a sudden, on your own, just randomly doing what you do, minding your business, you sometimes just find a golden nugget just waiting for you. And I was watching TV this morning, and thank God, through the beauty of technology, I was able to rewind it several times to verify what he said. Kendrick Perkins, like Shaq, had a lot to say about Ben Simmons. I don't think with all the things he wanted to say, this is what he said this morning.
Of this series, he did not take a shot in the fourth quarter. By the way, he has 4 years and $146 million left on his contract. Here's Big Perk. Here's PJ Carlissimo. Gentlemen, let's get into it. Big Perk, what is the right thing to say this morning about Ben Simmons?
Well, the right thing to say is that Joel Embiid needs to get on the phone with Elton Brand, Daryl Moore, and Doc Rivers and say it's time to break this up, meaning get rid of Ben Simmons, okay, and get him some Neosperm, Vaseline, I don't know what, because he's allergic to offense.
Some Neo who?
Get him some what?
Neo what?
Neosperm and Vaseline?
Neosperm, Vaseline.
I mean that's what I use to take care of my cuts. I put Neosperm.
Is he feeling sorry for himself and trying to lift his spirits, or is he trying to rectify a problem? Because Neosporin can help a cut.
I've used that before.
Neosperm, Vaseline.
That sounds like the beginning of a pornographic episode, not the solution to solving an overpaid superstar.
Do you like Perkins now? Do you still like Perkins?
I find a lot of humor in what he's... I'm not big on the delivery. Listen. Look, Greeny, listen. Look. Carry on. Listen. Okay? I'm not big on the delivery sometimes.
But you like his content?
There are some funny anecdotes. I don't think that was one he planned out.
Neosperm, Vaseline.
Neosperm.
What did Greeny's... did they have like a facial reaction to that or no?
At that point, I think they were only on Greeny. I would like to have seen PJ off camera because I think PJ with his glasses would have been like, whoa, what? So Neosperm mentioned with the Benson and Vaseline. Don't sell yourself short on that one. That one caught my ear. I was like, oh, no, we're going to have to use this.
Well, that's what I'm going to use going forward. Anytime I have a rash or a burn or a cut.
Or a date.
Neosperm.
And some Vaseline.
Yep.
I think it'll work for you.
Why? Clearly, that's what would fix Ben Simmons, according to Perkins. So.
Babe, I've got a beautiful evening planned. I've got a nice dinner, a beautiful bottle of wine, some Neosperm. And some Vaseline. Because, you know, Vaseline is the fix-all, correct-all for everything.
Well, at one point, it was like, put Vaseline on this, put Vaseline on. Like, basically, it was like, it's like soccer players when they get hurt. Inevitably, somebody on the sideline is going to bring out a bucket of water. Like, his leg is probably really hurt, or he could be faking it, but the key is always just to pour water on the leg. Oh, my knee hurts. Pour some water. Oh, I pulled a muscle on my calf. Pour some water on it. Like, everything, it's a fix for everything. Vaseline kind of had that.
By the way, did you hear Greeny has turned the corner this morning? Not surprisingly, after the Sixers loss, his second biggest story was again related to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But it was news, and I'll share it with you in hour number two. You're not going to believe what they made into a news story and why Mike Greenberg might be changing his mind on the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay scenario. But in the process of taking a break, if you need to get yourself some Neosperm and some Vaseline, I'm sure there's a CVS near you. Back with hour number two in just mere minutes. It's ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.